Two great albums from family trio Crystal Swing, Mary, Derek and Derbala Burke, with hit single He Drinks Tequila. See website www.crystalswing.com. Call 021-464-2448.
Hello everybody, my name is Mary.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Derbala.
And collectively, we are known as Crystal Swing.
Now we're going to perform a duet for you.
That's
and
your
it's
sister.
Called
That's
He
your
Drinks Tequila.
Mom.
Now this is taken from our latest album, The Best Years of Our Lives.
And we hope you enjoy it.
You are listening to the Gaffcast. We're going to bring you to new heights and show you places you've never been. Tune in, sit down, get a warm can of Tesco Lager and sit down and enjoy this episode of the Gaffcast. Pubs will hardly ever open again. We're going to go all around the world and back again. We're going to cover everything here at the Gaffcast. And I hope you're ready and hope you're strapped in. They reckon that vaccine's hard dodgy. Keep your arms inside the vehicle at all times. So you're listening to the Gaffcast and shit is about to get real. That Fergal Barrow is over there. Hello and welcome to the Gaffcast with me, Darren Gaffney, or as I say in Texas, howdy. I've never been to Texas, but I presume that's what they'd say over there. More than 8 times the size of Ireland, Texas. So it just goes to show you, but only half the size of Calvin. Anyway, watch the cry and welcome to the Gaffcast. I'm recording this episode with a cowboy hat on, just sitting here in the sitting room with a cowboy hat. So I am. And them cowboy boots on with the little spinny thing at the back of them. I believe it's called a spur. Fucking bad enough for him. It's for digging into the horse to get him to go a bit quicker. So it is. Anyway, yeah, that's the vibe this week. Cowboy hat on. One of them big shirts as well. The top few buttons opened and the cowboy boots on. country music, lad. It's funny as fuck because all the songs are always about like working on the ranch. And then going drinking on the weekend. I've been working on this old here farm. that was actually a really, really good impersonation of a country singer. Robert. Do you know what you call your man? Robert Mizell and Derek Ryan. Mike Denver. Philomena Begley for one night only in the Hotel Kilmore Cabin. Yeah, you can't bait a bit of country music. I can't jive though. I'd love to be able to jive about the spot. Pure drink jiving. Got done last night for drink jiving. 3 penalty points. But yeah, country music. Working on this ranch all day long and then go out drinking, spending the old wages. And I found a girl at the bar. I used to like country music. Country music is fairly enjoyable. It's just the old simple life, you know. Welcome to Country FM. This one's going out to all you truckers trucking across the deep south. Keep on trucking, guys. Do you know what I was thinking there? I was thinking about during the week. During you're in the middle of doing something, like you're busy or whatever, like you're driving a car or whatever, or you're frying a few sausages on the pan, and something just pops in your head of like something you did like on the beer, like in the past, or something that you have like a flashback of like pure fear just crops in your head and you're like, oh, and you feel you're going to get sick. And there during the week, I was driving the car and I just... So I was wheeling down the road, glad, and I just had a flashback out of nowhere, a flashback of my 18th, a good few years ago, and I just had a flashback of me, like, this is atrocious, like, this is, like, I had a DJ, like, one of the lads doing DJ, and I stopped music, and it was at the time when there was a load of terrorist attacks and shit. I was absolutely full as a bingo bus. And I was just, this is pure fear. I was like, stop the music. And I grabbed the mic and I just went, the music just cut off. Like, and I just grabbed the mic and went, fuck ISIS. With my whole family there, like relatives and everything. Like, what is that? Like, that is, I nearly crashed the car. Nearly went off road over the hedge into the drain. Fuck, like, what even is that? Like, fuck ISIS, like, that is fear. Like that is. I was just like, oh, did I do that? Erase from the memory there. Like, that is atrocious. I was just laughing at that drunk. Well, it would have been funny if it had been someone else that did it. But the fact that it was me, I don't really, I can't laugh at it now, but like, you always get things like that where you're just like, oh, Jesus. Did I say that? Funny enough, though, I just thought about that during the week. So all these cunts probably have plenty of stuff like that, but shouting fuck ISIS into a mic at your 18th. This one, ISIS were at large. So like, they basically stopped after that. Like, they're kind of gone now, ISIS, aren't they? So they obviously got wind that from my 18th that I had got the mic and said, fuck the Islamic State. And yeah, then they packed it in, you know. They got their shit in the togs then. They knew I was on to them. The whores. Anyway, we better do a few succulent pan-fried news headlines. Gaffcast news. Big dirty news headlines from around the world. Shit is going down in Denmark over the 17 million minks that were butchered, they were killed or culled, I think is the proper term, during COVID, because they found a mutated COVID variant in the old minks. 17 million of them were killed. It was ordered from the government to kill them all, healthy and non-healthy minks, so ones with the variant and ones without it. 17 million, what's that, like 3.5 times the size of Ireland? That's a lot of minks. The so-called Mink Commission, which has been set up, I want to be on the Mink Commission, says the act of killing the minks was unlawful. So they're investigating that, see what the crack is there, if it was necessary to kill all those minks and to send them all to mink heaven. Yeah, they were in farms, like they weren't like wild minks. Probably pointed that out. So yeah, so the mink farmers weren't happy. Yeah, like farming minks for the old mink coats and jackets and mink attire. The mink, of course, a close relative of the pine marten and the stoat. Pine marten, dodgy enough character. I think the pine martens like were nearly going extinct here in Ireland, and then we reintroduced them, and I think they're now more of an old pest again. I see, fucking sneaky enough, the old pine martens. Like if had a few hens there, and you'd want to watch out. They reckon they'd come in, and this is what I heard now from an owl lad. He said the pine marten is that much of an evil whore. He'd come in and kill the hens, and he wouldn't even take one away with him to eat. He's just doing it for the joy of the killing, huh? Just for the fun of it, and not even taking off a hen to eat. That is just the definition of evil from the pine marten. You know, like the fox there, they'd be giving out about them, but at least they'd come in and kill the hens and to take one off them to eat. Sneaky, sneaky, selfish, evil pine marten wouldn't even take any hens with them to eat. Well, that's what he said. And he was an owl lad, so he obviously knows, like. So there you go. Oh, and here's some interesting news from Canada. Napalm Girl, as she became known. So you ever see that picture of the Vietnam War with America? And it's like the American troops walking up that road. And there's like a child, like this girl. She's only 9 years old with no clothes on, running up the road, crying. And her skin is all burned and shit from the napalm. It's always a picture that you always see to represent that war. She had her final skin treatment in Florida there during the week, last week. So she was 9 in that picture, and it's 1972. Now she's 59. So they thought she wasn't going to survive after, but she moved to Canada and had to get a shitload of operations and shit and skin treatments. But she got her final skin treatment there. So that's a bit of good news. But yeah, napalm, I was looking it up as well. So her skin was all burned and shit. So it's like a petrol chemical and a gel mixed together to stick to everything. So, burn a load of shit and spread fires everywhere, like through the forest and all that kind of crack, and the villages and all that. So yeah, that's a bit grim that humanity had to take the turn to invent something like that. So that's grim, but she's got her final skin treatment. So it's a bit of good news there, bit of positivity. And now back to Ireland. The population of Ireland is now at the highest level it has been since the famine. Come on, Ireland.
Come on, you boys in green.
Yeah, so the population of Ireland, the island of Ireland in 1841 was 8.2 million. And now in 2022, it's 7.2 million. Come on, only a million away. We're nearly there. Happy days. Yeah, the Irish population took a bit of a dent with the Irish famine. The Irish spuds. Irish spuds went bad. Yeah, wouldn't have liked to have been alive back then, eating spuds every day. I don't mind spuds at all, but the old diet back then was nearly 100% spud. Although my old boy probably wouldn't have minded that. He loves spuds. He'd eat spuds for breakfast, dinner and tea if he could. Like, if he's eating dinner and it doesn't have a spud on the plate, like, it'd be no good to him. He probably wouldn't eat it. He needs the spuds there. Like, he'd eat pasta with spuds. Like, he'd eat chicken curry with spuds. He's mad for spuds. Like, any of his dinners now, it'd have to absolutely essential for the spuds to be included. Or it wouldn't be worth a fiddler's fuck to him. Because it's funny, the Irish lass has gone away for a while. For a few days, and there was no dinner here made, and I seen him. He boiled a few spuds, and he took out like a pack of ham, out of the fridge, and he just lobbed it onto the plate. So he had a few slices of ham, of Denny ham, and a few spuds. That to him would be a lovely dinner, but. Was going to say, yeah, back in the famine now, eating the spuds every day, yeah, the spuds went bad. But now the population is back on track. We're getting there. Hopefully, as the population gets bigger, we might eventually have a good football team. As the population increases, hopefully it'll increase the chances of being able to find a starting 11 that are half decent. You never know. Yeah, this episode is called The Head in You and the Price of Turnips. Great old saying that. I don't know what it means. I think it kind of means you have a head in you like a melted welly. I think the two things kind of mean the same thing. I think they tie you in together. If you're head in you like a slapped arse. Yeah, if you're head in you, the head in you and the price of turnips. Old turnip inflation. You have an old turnip head in you. So you have. Is that a compliment or an insult? Who knows? Turnips are one of them vegetables. When we were doing food dudes in school, remember the Irish government tried to introduce the food dudes thing to try to get the healthy eating going, because everyone was getting fat, all the school children were eating really unhealthy and stuff, and Ireland's obesity levels were increasing. I don't know what the story is now, but they tried to implement all that healthy eating in school, and they had the food dudes campaign. You'd still see the odd. You see the odd person in college with the old food dude's pencil case. Food dude's rubber. They used to give you like little prizes and shit. Because they used to come, I don't know if like anyone that did food dudes would know the crack, but for anyone that didn't, they used to come to the school. They used to send out all these vegetables, like raw vegetables used to send out to the school. And everyone would get their little pack of veg in class in primary school. And I don't know if they did it in secondary school. I was in primary school when I did it anyway. Yeah, I think I could actually still have one of the pencil cases still going from then, somewhere in the house. But you get your pack of veg, everyone in the class would get. So, like, every day, you get something, like, it'd be different veg, like. So one day it could be, like, carrots, raw carrots. The next day it'd be, like, turnips. Next day it could be, remember those white cabbage and the parsnips. You name it, they dished it out. But the thing was, it was raw. So, like, the carrots, that's grand. You'd eat carrots raw. Like, I'd eat carrots raw, no bother. Most people would, like, because, like, they're a grand old vegetable to eat raw, but the white cabbage in that was dodgy enough. People eating bags of white cabbage, like, that's the stuff that's been coleslaw. coleslaw. This is white cabbage and mayonnaise mixed together, is it? That was the crack. So you get your bag of white cabbage. And I just remember, so... Whoever ate the quickest? No, it must have been just whoever ate it all, ate the whole shebang, a lang-a-ding-dong. got your prize. So you could get like a pencil or a rubber or a pen or something. I think that was the prize, most of the prizes were. But like there'd be a few people like nearly getting sick, like because eating food like leaves of white cabs and that is, it wouldn't be that enjoyable, to be honest. And I remember they had the turnips, they had like just chopped up raw turnips. They were hard chewed, I tell you that. Like if you had a now filling there or an old wobbly toot, like it wouldn't be long taking it out. Like you'd be eating your big square cube of turnip, and I don't think anybody like enjoyed that in the class. You were just horsing into it because you wanted to get your prize. Like there's a good bit of chaw now in a big square cube, like in a cube of turnip. Like you cut up a turnip there, like go get a turnip and cut it up in your kitchen, and you try chaw that turnip. There is a solid bit of chaw in that. So in actual fact, it wasn't actually getting you to actually enjoy the veg. It was those people near, like the one I remember in class, would be people like who wouldn't be used to eating, like, well, sure, none of us were used to eating raw turnips or anything like that, or raw white cabbage. It'd normally be cooked, like, but to be nearly puking in class. And I used to have my bottle of my waddy, and I used to put in, like, I used to put more extra my waddy in it, so it would be more orangey. So I could, like, ate the the veg and then downed my waddy, so I'd wash it down barely without chewing, just so I could get me rubber. See, I was fucking coming prepared. I had my eyes on the prize. You see, I knew what I was going for. I knew what I wanted, and there was no one in the class going to stop me getting my prize. And no one was going to stop me getting that rubber. No way, Jose. It was competitive, like. So I know I wanted my pen and I wanted my pencil case. And I think I always hoovered as much as I could of the food so I could get the prize. But there'd be people dropping like flies. They wouldn't be fit to stuff it into their face. I don't think it definitely turned children off veg instead of getting more healthy eating going, because the whole structure of the Food Dudes Initiative was a bit too much emphasized on stuffing your face with raw veg that you didn't even enjoy, just to try horse into you and see if you could get your prize. In the long term, I don't know how that would help with the obesity levels and that, but yeah, Food Dudes is good crack. I still get flashbacks, especially white cabbage, because I remember it wasn't great. It was probably my least favourite, and I used to be absolutely down into my body along with it. So, and I see white, like raw white cabbage about, I just get that flashback. So the taste in my mouth, don't you just instantly transport it back to fifth class in primary school and stuffing my face with the white cabbage. But there used to be people snaking it into their bags and everything. There was sneaky behaviour going on. There was shady activities, those hands underneath the table. It could have been a few brown envelopes now slid to the teacher with a bit of dash inside to put their name down as finishing their few cubes of raw turnips, you know. There's no doubt there was a bit of tomfoolery going on every here and there. But looking back, the old Food Dudes Initiative was probably a bit flawed at the same time, you know. Like there's children out there, there's young adults out there now who, because of that, they'd never want to see a head of a white cabbage or an old turnip again ever in their lives. Movie of the week this week on the Gaffcast. Do you know when you like, so I sat down and turned on the telly and there's like a movie starting, and usually, to be fair now, like most of the movies that do be on, sometimes like a lot of the time they might be a bit shite, but you know when you get lucky the other time and there's actually a good movie on and it's just starting? Well, this is what happened to me. And the movie is sporting document. I say it's like a sport documentary movie thing. Borg versus McEnroe. And it's about the 1980 Wimbledon Championships between Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe. And it was class. And honestly, actually, it was actually a savage film. I really enjoyed it. Like, I knew, I think that's supposed to be one of the greatest rivalries or whatever in tennis. And I knew a bit about it. Like, very slightly, but the movie was actually fairly class, and I have to say, all about the rivalry between the two of them. Bjorn Borg was Swedish and John McEnroe was from America, and his Shia LaBeouf is playing him in the movie. But yeah, it's class because so your man Bjorn Borg was like on top. He was the big dog. He had won, like, I think it was the last 4 Wimbledons in a row up to this stage. He was going for 5. I think that's what it was anyway. Or was he going for 4? He's either going for 4 or 5 anyway. And John McEnroe was like the young buck up and coming. And he was tipped to be the next big thing. But it's funny because McEnroe was like, in the movie, it's all about him being like, he's a bit of a psycho on the court. Like, he goes mental. Like, if you look it up on YouTube, it's actually hilarious. He goes absolutely stone mad at the umpires and shit. And he just loses the plot. Like, because back then they didn't have like the technology when you can call for the, what's that call really like in tennis where, oh, it's after going out of my head. Do you know when you, like, when the ball's on the line? Whatever you call it, when you challenge it, you get a challenge or whatever. Didn't have that back then, so it was all up to the ref, or whatever. And, John McEnroe was going, like, skits. At one point, he's, like, serving, and it's really quiet or whatever on the court. And then he's just like, you guys, goddamn pigeons. And, like, there's pigeons on the roof, and he won't serve. And at one time, he turns around, like, and there's a woman in the crowd talking or something, and he starts telling her to shut up. It's actually very funny. And when he in that Wimbledon championships, like, everyone hates him, like, coming up to the final. And then Bjorn Borg's on the other side and coming up to get to the final. And he's like really calm, pure calm and collected. So he is. And the media like played two of them off each other. Bit like Bjorn Borg's like the real calm one, and McEnroe was like the head case. It just shows like all the background and that. It's fucking, it's good, like. And the two of them end up meeting in the final. In the 1980 Wimbledon final, like, McEnroe gets booed going on to centre court, like, which is, like, it never happened before where, like, the tennis crowd would actually boo and shit like that. And, like, McEnroe was always cursing and going mad. But I was looking it up, and his granddad is actually from Ballyduff and Cavan. So there you go. Ballyduff, after getting Ballyduff got new tennis courts there got new tennis courts there a few months ago. So it must be in the BJD blood. His granddad was from Ballyduff. Thought that was mad. That's also why he's a head case as well, clearly. And his grandmother's from Westmead. So, yeah, McEnroe, then they got to that final. It's all about the 1980 championships, and it shows, like, how the boat got into tennis and, like, getting to where they are and stuff. And, like, the 1980 finals class goes to, like, was like a tie break loads of times, and just like your man Bjorn Borg was on like the match winning point loads of times, and McEnroe brings it back. It's pure tension, man. And it was on for ages, and I could just like tell everything about the movie. I just done a favor to that, so I'll just, like, if you want to go watch it, I would definitely recommend it. I'd probably give it a solid 9 out of 10. I actually enjoyed that film. The style is cool as well. It's pure retro gear, man. The pure I don't even know what they're wearing, like Diadora, and I don't know what brand. Your man was wearing Diadora. Bjorn Borg is cool enough. No, McEnroe was like, was he wearing Lessie? I don't even know. I can't remember. But I think that was like that's why it's so, the rivalry is all, it was cool in the media and shit, because like the clothes were cool and the tennis. So I turned Nadal and Federer, be a good old rivalry there too. It's funny. It's just funny though, because McEnroe was just going mental. Like, that's always entertaining. I definitely go watch that film. Hey, it's worth it. It's actually good films in the good films in the cinema at the minute. Isn't the new Elvis film out, and the new Top Gun, Tom Cruise lad. I'd have to go see one of them. I heard the Elvis film's class. So, you know, that's on the cards now. Let's go. That could get out of review in the GAF cash soon enough. Jay, go check out the Borg versus McEnroe film, man. It's totally worth it. 10, that old clock's ticking. About time to say goodnight.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening.
Cheers, folks, for tuning in to this episode of Gaffcast. It truly is a big, dirty pleasure. And if you can and you get a chance, maybe follow the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and spread the word. Tell your maybe friends, family, or anyone else you know to maybe, if they have nothing else to do, if they have nothing else to do, to maybe listen in to an old episode of the Gaffcast. Cheers, folks, and I'll see you all again next week. Stay safe. Good luck.